If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 12. John chapter 12. And this morning we'll be looking at verses 44 to 50. So John 12, verses 44 to 50. If you need a Bible, there's Bibles on the back table there. Please take one and keep it if you don't own one. We'd love for you to have a copy of God's Word for yourself. John chapter 12, verses 44 to 50. Says this, and Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me but in him who sent me, and whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge them. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless our hearing of the words of your Son, Jesus Christ, this morning. I pray that you would help each of us, Lord, not just to hear them, but to receive them with faith. Lord, I pray that you would work powerfully in our midst by the power of your Spirit and bring salvation and bring courage and hope and joy in Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. I wonder, has this happened to you recently where someone texts you a link to a YouTube video, something that they know you'd be interested in? So you click on the link, it opens up YouTube, but right before you get to your video, what happens? An ad. And it usually has absolutely nothing to do with what it was you wanted to watch. An ad for some sort of holiday, or for Vodafone internet, or something just you're not interested in. But you have to watch it, or at least wait until that lovely skip button appears before you can get to what you actually really want to see. Ads are annoying, aren't they? They are annoying. Amen. But they're the price we pay for having access on YouTube to the world's largest video library. So you don't have to pay money to access YouTube, but you do have to pay. And you pay by giving them your attention to these annoying little ads. And it turns out your attention is a very valuable thing. And if you can get a lot of people's attention, that's a very, very valuable thing. Last year in 2025, YouTube generated over $40 billion in revenue from ads alone. That's $40,000 million from people looking at ads. Your attention is a valuable thing. That's why there are so many companies spending so much money trying to get your attention throughout your day. Look at this, listen to this, click on this, download this. Studies estimate that you and I see anywhere between 5 and 20 times more ads every day than people did just 50 years ago. Life is noisier for us in every way because there are a lot more people vying for our attention. Which is why when we come to this passage and consider these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should pay careful attention. Now, we should always pay careful attention to what Jesus says. Everything Jesus says is important. Amen? There are no unimportant words of Jesus in the Gospels. But here in these verses, Jesus is crying out to the world in a loud voice, speaking to you and me directly, to get our attention. There's a unique urgency to what Jesus is saying here, a significance that he does not want us to miss. This is made clear for us in a number of ways. First of all, in how John presents the words of Jesus to us here in these verses. We noted last week that chapter 12 in John's Gospel is a transition chapter. It marks the end of the last 3 years of Jesus' public ministry. His public ministry around Judea is now drawn to a close, and then John dedicates the rest of his Gospel from chapter 13 onwards to the last week of Jesus' life, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. So what Jesus says here at the end of chapter 12, you can think of it as his last public sermon, his final plea to the world before he turns and goes to the cross. Also, you may have noticed that John doesn't tell us who Jesus is speaking to here. Did you notice that in verse 44? It just says, Jesus cried out and said. But it doesn't say who he is crying out to. And that's unusual because in John's Gospel, he's always very careful to tell us who Jesus is talking to. You know, he said this to the woman at the well. He said that to his disciples. He spoke these things to the Jews in the temple. Because John is a good writer. He wants us to understand what's going on and have context. But here in verse 44, he doesn't do that. It's not because he forgot. It's intentional. In fact, the last time we heard from Jesus was back up in verse 36, where John writes, when Jesus had said these things to the Jews in the synagogue, he departed and hid himself from them. So the last we heard from Jesus is he went into hiding, away from people. And then we get to verse 44 and it says he's crying out. So who is he crying out to? John is doing this intentionally. He is presenting the words of Jesus here, not as his words just to these people or to those people, but as his final public words to all people, to the world at large, as his public ministry draws to a close. You know, it's like when you're watching a movie and the director really wants you to pay attention to the main character. You know where they kind of make the background go all dark and all the other characters sort of disappear? You can't hear anything else. You just see the main character and hear what they're saying. I think it's a fancy word for that in a Shakespearean play is a soliloquy, where they speak directly to the audience. That's what John is doing here. He strips everything else away, so our attention is only on Jesus. We should pay careful attention because of how John presents it to us, but also because of how Jesus is speaking here. Because he's not just speaking, is he? He's crying out. Calling out loudly. You know, sometimes when you need to get somebody's attention, you have to shout. And if you have young kids, you find yourself doing that quite a lot. Shouting is a way of getting people's attention. I remember being up at a conference years ago, there was a preacher, and he shouted his entire sermon. Now, if all somebody does is shout, what do? You just tune them out. I can't remember a thing that guy said because all I was thinking the whole time was, why is he constantly shouting? But Jesus, who is gentle and lowly, and who did not raise his voice unless it was necessary, here is crying out to us to get our attention. Lastly, before we get into the details of what Jesus actually is saying here, just notice generally, he's repeating himself. If you've been here as we've been going through John's Gospel, you'll recognize pretty much everything we just read in these verses. He said that already. He said that before. He said this a couple of chapters ago. That's intentional, this repetition. You know, nowadays when you want to emphasize something to someone, you send them a text, you can bold, you can underline, and you can follow the whole thing by a long list of very carefully chosen emojis to get people's attention. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. But back then, the main way that you emphasized or underscored what was important in what you were saying is you repeated yourself. That's why when the Bible says that God is holy, 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 that's the most emphasis that you can give to something in the Jewish language, in Hebrew. Jesus is repeating himself to underscore what I'm saying here. This is a summary. These are the most important things. Of all the things I've said over the last 3 years, here is the concluding summary. Okay, so with all that being said, what is Jesus saying here as he turns and heads to the cross? What he's saying is not complicated. It's simple. In fact, it can be summarized into two simple statements. Jesus is saying to the world, first, that he is God's authentic messenger. And secondly, he is saying that the message he brings is of eternal consequence. So he's saying, I am God's authentic messenger. And the message that I bring is of eternal consequence. So first, we'll look at these both in turn. First then, Jesus is God's authentic messenger. He says in verse 44, whoever believes in me, believes in him who sent me. Or he says, sorry, whoever believes in me, believes not in me, that is not in me only, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me, sees him who sent me. And then look down at verse 49. I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. In other words, if you hear Jesus, you hear God. He's making the same point in three different ways. You believe me, it's God you're believing, God the Father. You see me, you're looking at God in the flesh. You see the Father. If you hear me, it's the Father you're listening to. He's making it as clear as possible that he has come from God, and everything he says bears the full weight and authority of the Father. Because, he's careful to point out, he only says what he has been given by the Father. No more, no less. Again, this is a repeat of what Jesus has said many times throughout his ministry. Like back in chapter 7, verse 16, he says, my teaching is not mine, but him who sent me. Chapter 8, verse 26, he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. And I speak just as the Father taught me. Jesus wants you to know this. He's not just some guy giving you his opinions on religion. He is God in the flesh, bringing the words of the Father. So the Father and the Son are distinct from one another, and yet they are so perfectly united in their saving work that to believe in Jesus is to believe in the Father also. The early church father Chrysostom gave a wonderful illustration of this point. He says, anyone who takes water from a river does not take it from the river, but from the spring that supplies the river. Isn't that a wonderful picture? Anyone who takes water from a river does not take it from the river, but from the spring that supplies the river. To receive the water of life, as it were, from Jesus is to receive it from the spring of the Father. Nowadays, especially with all the fake rubbish that AI is pumping out and all the actual fake news that's out there, it's very important to get your information direct from the source, isn't it? We've all had that experience when you're online and you see this, you know, very attention-grabbing headline. You know, you won't believe what King Charles said to Trump. And you think, man, I wonder what he said. And so like a sucker, you click on it. And when you read the article, you realize there's no controversy here. He didn't say anything bad to Trump. This is just clickbait designed to sell me more ads. Well, friends, Jesus is not like that. He doesn't tamper with the message. In fact, he is the message in the flesh, the Word made flesh. He is God's authentic messenger. You want to hear from God? Listen to Jesus. And not just his direct speech. You know, some Bibles, they put the words of Jesus in red. It's not that the words in red are more from God than the other ones. all of Scripture is inspired by the Spirit of Christ, and we receive it as such. This is why Christians have always been so eager to get the Bible into people's hands. This is why Tyndale Bible Translation and all other translation ministries work so hard to translate the Bible into people's languages so they can read the words of God for themselves. We want people to hear Jesus speak, because then they hear the Father speak. Jesus is God's authentic messenger. He's God's prophet with a capital P. In fact, Jesus is exactly who God predicted would come all the way back in the days of Moses. If you turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, the fifth book in the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 18, I just want you to see this. We've already come across this in John's Gospel, but it's good to look at it again. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 to 19. If you start in Genesis, work about five books in. In Deuteronomy 18, Moses, like Jesus in John 12, Moses is at the end of his ministry. He's giving his final words of exhortation and advice and counsel to the people of Israel before they go into the promised land. He's not going to go in. And as part of his parting words, he says to them in verse 15 of 18, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." Verse 18, he says again, the Lord says to Moses, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses, from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." Does that ring any bells? "And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." And over 1,200 years later, Jesus cries out to the world at the end of his ministry, "Whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me." And he says, "The Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment," just like he said in Deuteronomy 18. What is the commandment? What to say, what to speak. Jesus is the prophet. He is the greater Moses. He is God's authentic messenger. How you respond to Jesus, make no mistake about it, how you respond to Jesus is how you respond to God. What you do with the Son of God is what you do with God himself. And so, as God said in Deuteronomy 18, "Whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." That leads us into the second half of what Jesus is saying here, the other half. And that is that the message Jesus brings is of eternal consequence. The message Jesus brings is of eternal consequence. We've already talked about how noisy a world we live in, with ads, things vying for our attention, especially online. Pretty much all of it is just not important. It's inconsequential. It just doesn't matter. But what Jesus says, what God's prophet says, is of eternal consequence. Elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will not pass away." Of all the words ever spoken in the world throughout history, there's only two categories. There's the words of Jesus, and there's all the others. And everything in this category will pass away. But the words of Jesus will never pass away. And here in his final public sermon, he draws out three consequences of his words, of his teaching that he has given to the world over the last 3 years of his public ministry. The first consequence is verse 46. He says, "I have come into the world as light, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. So what happens when someone receives the words of Jesus, when they believe in Jesus? They come out of darkness. Darkness, of course, in John's gospel is a metaphor that he loves using. It's a metaphor for evil and sin. Remember what John wrote back in chapter 3, verse 19. He said, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Darkness hides, light exposes. So darkness is the evil and sin of our world that leads to death, ultimately, eternal death. Whereas the light is truth and goodness from God that leads to eternal life. That's why Jesus can say in chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." If you're looking for life, if you're looking for truth, if you're looking for goodness, it's not something that Jesus gives to you. It is who Jesus is. Amen? He is the light of the world. And the evidence that someone has come to know Jesus, come to trust in him, is that they don't remain in darkness. They come out of it. There's a change. They listen to him and obey him. When a person has a real relationship with Jesus, they have a new relationship with their sin. To put another way, if you say, I now have the light of Jesus, that'll affect your relationship to the darkness, won't it? They go from embracing sin and rejecting God to rejecting sin and embracing God. And that is a process. Anybody in here as a Christian perfect yet? If you think you are, please talk to me later. We will be perfect when Jesus removes all darkness from us in heaven. Amen? He will finish the work that he's begun in us. But just because we don't have perfection in this life does not mean that we do not have true holiness in this life. Amen? It is a process. Christians still sin. Perhaps you came to church this morning trusting in Jesus but incredibly discouraged in your walk with him because of a particular sin that is wreaking havoc in your life. Maybe it's some private sin that nobody else knows about, like jealousy or lust. Or maybe it's a very obvious sin that everyone knows about, drunkenness or anger. But you feel trapped in it. You cannot seem to get out of it. Friend, listen to what Jesus says here. He says, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." Friend, Jesus came to take you out of that darkness. That's not figurative language. That's not pie in the sky. He is a powerful Savior who came to draw you out from your sins. So go to him. Confess your sin to him. Ask him for help. And I would say, especially if nobody knows what you're going through, tell another trusted Christian friend about it and ask them to pray for you. That's what it means to bring things out of darkness into light. We receive forgiveness and healing. That's the first consequence of Jesus' words. The second is for those who reject his words. Look at verse 47. He says, "If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words, that is my message, my teaching, that one has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. Jesus wants us to be very clear. I came to save. In his first coming, Jesus came to save. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Remember the next verse? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, to judge it, but in order that the world would be saved through him. Jesus saying, I came to save. That is why I am here. That is why he will go to the cross for us. But he is warning us. If you reject my words, if you reject me, it's not me that will judge you, but rather the words that I have spoken will stand against you on the last day. This is a fearful thing to consider for those who persist in unbelief and who continually say no to Jesus. And on that day, when judgment day, when God brings all the deeds of men, whether good or evil, into the light, no more hiding. For those who would not come to Jesus, all their Christian friends and family who called them to faith in Jesus, all the sermons they ever heard, all the truth they rejected, will stand in judgment over them. Friend, if that is you, listen to what Jesus is crying out this morning. I did not come to judge, but to save. Turn from that unbelief. Listen and believe in these consequential words of Jesus. Thirdly and finally, the third and final consequence of Jesus' words, his teaching, verse 49 and 50. The end of verse 49, he said, I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment. Again, what's the commandment? What to say, what to speak. He's given me this message. And verse 50, I know that his commandment, this message he has given me, is eternal life. And again, this is Jesus saying what he has said many times before. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. If that's you this morning, you, present tense, have eternal life. Not something that's coming to you, it's something you have now that will endure forever. And he says, whoever believes in me, he does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. John 6, verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. One more. Later in the Gospel, 17, verse 3, as Jesus prays to the Father, he prays this. He says, this is eternal life, that they know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The way to get eternal life is to believe in Jesus. That's it. Amen? That's it. And if you want to add something to that sentence, just know that the minute you do that, you're not talking about biblical Christianity. It's not Jesus and my church attendance. It's not Jesus and how much I can clean up my act before I come to him. It's not Jesus and being a pastor. It's not Jesus and having Christian parents. It is Jesus alone. The only thing we contribute to our salvation, someone once remarked well, is the sin that made it necessary. But what about all my sin, Kevin? What about all the darkness? If you only knew. Jesus knows about it, and he said, I'll bring you out of it. I'll restore you. I'll renovate you. I will give you new life, and you will walk in the light. And all of that cleaning up, all of that sanctification, that growing in godliness is a consequence of receiving eternal life. It's not a condition for it. The good news of Christianity is not clean up your act and then come to Jesus. If that were the case, this room would be empty. None of us would qualify. No, the good news of Christianity is believe in Jesus, he will give you eternal life, and he will begin to transform you into his image by the power of his Spirit. Amen? That's good news. That's good news. Christianity is a religion for people who realize they cannot fix themselves. Jesus said, I've come into this world as light, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. This is what Jesus wants to say to the world, as it were, as he's turning from his public ministry and heading into the last week leading up to his crucifixion and resurrection. And through his sacrifice of himself on the cross for our sins, and by his resurrection from the dead, he further sealed and approved and affirmed that he is who he says he is. That he is God's authentic messenger, and his words are of eternal consequence. And so the question that remains for each one of us today is, are you listening to what he is saying? Are you really paying attention? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will take these words, and insofar as they clarify and explain your words, I pray, Lord, that they would stick in our hearts and minds. I pray, Lord, that there would be none here this morning who would remain in darkness, but that they would come out and trust in you, Jesus, the light of the world, so that they may have eternal life now. And know your power to transform and to deal with sin. Father, help us as a church to encourage one another to deal with the darkness in our lives, to do so honestly, knowing with great hope that you who began a good work in us will see it to completion, that none of us will fail to attain eternal life because it is you who is drawing us to yourself. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you for this passage, these words that he cries out to us in love. We thank you for this in his name. Amen.